honest truth was but a mound. Since then, 'tis centuries with Bridget and centuries. Since then, 'tis centuries, but each seems shorter than the day in the spiritual world. I first surmised the horse's head for toward eternity. I had to memorize that.
Yeah, I can tell.
Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
And welcome. I can hardly see the side. It's good to see all of you today. Announcements for the day? We have meetings and other kinds of things. Marilyn?
There is a mission board meeting this afternoon. Most of the mission board members know that, but it's just a reminder that we will be meeting. Also, if anyone does not have email or would like the newsletter for the state ABWM, I have copies for you.
Thank you. Marilyn is versatile and organized in so many ways. Thank you. Other announcements? And just welcome to our church. It's good to have you here. Let us join together in our worship, and let us begin with the responsive call to worship. This is God's world. To us, given a vision of nations and races, lands and people, joined together in God's love.
Praise be to God, the Creator, in whose love we are created.
We come to celebrate and renew that vision, opening ourselves to the one who is its source, its living fire.
We affirm in Christ that we can be and are one world and one family.
We affirm in the Spirit we are working together to manifest God's rule in the lives of all people.
Let us rejoice and give thanks to God.
The hymn is 670, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Join together in prayer. Oh God, we are awed by the responsibilities you entrust to us as your children, the things that you point us to, the ways in which you would have us live. Our prayer today is that we become like the salt, a small ingredient that gives flavor to the common life of humanity while drawing little attention to itself. Grant us the courage to live by faith and love and hope. For we ask it through Christ, so that our lives may shine with your light, and that we might worship you in all that we say and do. Hear our prayers this day. Accept our worship. Hear the prayer that we offer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now.
again.
Good morning.
I just wanted to bring you up to date on our retired ministers and missionaries offering. We have collected, according to Richard, $185 so far, and that's not too bad for a week's work since the letter just came out. I want you to notice, too, there is an insert that has some lines on it. You may be wondering, what am I supposed to do with those? Well, according to the instructions, it says, do you have any memories of pastors, maybe retired pastors, or missionaries that have been acquainted with you and that you know about or have had personal contact with? You might write something up. Next week we're going to hear from such a retired minister, but I'd be more than happy to include some of the comments if people would like to hand them to me now, today, but that is later. You don't have to write them up right now, but you can be thinking about while I'm talking, while we're getting the video ready. And or send them by email. GloverMarilyn46@gmail.com is my email address. So if you're willing to do that, that'd be great.
Jesus came physically to this earth to be with us. He wanted to be among us, a part of us. And when we think about the retired minister and missionaries offering, this is a community. And when we contribute to that offering, we're helping them.
Grace is the main issue of the whole, my life, you know, the grace of God. By grace you have received, by grace you should give.
A member of the historic Second Baptist Church in Detroit, Dolly Hillman served for years as a missionary in Nigeria and Haiti.
One of the things that happens to you in retirement is that you feel more or less forgotten, sort of useless. So when that check comes, it reminds me, oh, well, I'm not forgotten after all. Those years that I spent in service have not been spent in vain.
Reverend Doug Merchant served several congregations in New York State, working to heal the sense of disconnection that he experienced between different ethnic groups and social classes in those communities.
About 5 years ago that I realized that my vision was changing, that I noticed that when I looked at the white lines in the road, that they were rippling.
Reverend Merchant's doctor told him he had the beginnings of macular degeneration, an incurable eye disease that leads to blurry vision or a complete loss of sight in the center of your field of vision.
It does drive me crazy sometimes because I just like to sit in my chair with a book and read it.
The RMMO offering helped the Merchants purchase a special machine that enables Doug Merchant to read once again.
We are so thankful for the technology that's out there that allows him to be able to read and to see something.
The difference this makes in my life to have this machine is to be able to still read letters from my friends, to be able to read poetry, which I like to read a lot.
Pastor Garcia is still active in his retirement, training lay pastors in the San Joaquin Valley of California, and often uses his RMMO offering to serve others.
It's a great blessing. I use it in the best way that I can to continue serving and helping people, whatever. I don't keep the money. I use it to give to somebody, you know, that is in need, because this is my love for them. Yeah.
The RMMO is very important. What I can do, either as a retired missionary or as a recipient of it, is I can contribute to it, to try to keep that going, because it's dynamic. There's nothing like having somebody alongside you.
I've received a lot. And it's all I know by the grace of God. The more you give, the more you get. And it's through God.
Never mind that man behind the curtain.
Who is that? It's a little tricky, huh?
Yeah. We'll let the experts take care of that. So, I find that my times for children here are children of God. And a few young ones and a few older ones, and that's okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Teamwork always works.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So this is the weekend that we recognized, I hope, a familiar face. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's only been a holiday since 1986. Right? It took a lot of years. But nonetheless, it's a day and an opportunity for us to reflect and to give thanks for our modern prophet. In American Baptist churches, we're particularly proud, aren't we, that he was an American Baptist pastor, that he had grown up in a Baptist church, that he had gone to a Baptist college, and then he went to the Baptist Seminary, to Crozer, and then ultimately to Boston University. And so being Baptists near Boston makes us doubly proud to be able to acknowledge his ministry, and that his ministry knew no walls, did it? It went beyond ourselves. It went beyond our nation. It went around our world and has permanently influenced so much. For the good, and that his methods and his style are so important to us. His foundational belief in justice and God's righteousness, and that we are not alone. His message of nonviolent demonstration. And so we pause. The church that I served in Bedford, Mass., for about 3 years as interim, every year for now 60 years has held an annual Martin Luther King community service in their community, in their church. And people come from all over for it. It was really impressive to be a part of that and to have the community come together around the ministry and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So that's touched me in some way, and so now when I saw the calendar, I said, you know, we better make sure today that we are vigilant about the work, about the love, about the presence of Jesus in the life of this one servant. So join with me this day in reflecting and celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So tomorrow's a holiday. Hopefully, we will all take a moment to pause and remember. I also brought along Gardner Taylor's Civil Rights Events of the 60s, a retrospective, forward-looking, he called it. And he, as you probably know, is one of the proteges of Dr. King, who really also had a profound preaching influence in Harlem, in New York, for many, many years, and very inspiring words. So if anybody wants to be inspired, find these guys. Don't let them dissipate into history. Don't let the historians be, you know, do their is it Twitter, where you have 142 characters and that's the end of the story? Don't let it be the end of the story. Make it a pledge. Let's pray. Inspire us, O Lord, by the prophets who have gone before us, prophets of old and prophets of modern day. Encourage us, strengthen us, help us to just be your children here in this place and wherever you call us. For we ask it through Christ. Amen.
So now this is our time for prayer, a time to remember those who are in need of prayer. Let me ask first if there are prayer requests you'd like to share with the congregation today. Michael.
My parents are traveling as we speak.
Chuck and Cindy are off to Hawaii. But it's not what you think. I think they're providing support to your grandma, who I think is in her 90s by now.
97.
Still lives alone?
With help.
With help, but in her own house?
So she's in her own house. She just needs some care, but otherwise...
There you go. Be inspired. There's hope for all of us. That's great. They're in our prayers. Others? Marilyn. Congratulations, and welcome back. We were all praying for you for a quick recovery. Yeah. But, and your field is computer science? So, a 4.0 in computer science. Think about that for a minute, will you please? That's wonderful. Congratulations. Others? We've been praying for Pastor Martha. Your prayers have been answered. Good news, she had a doctor appointment this week and has been cleared medically to resume her normal duties. So, it's very good news, which means that she'll be back with you next Sunday. So we're excited about that. And I'll say that I'm just a little sad because very quickly I've gotten quite accustomed to you. And I hope you've gotten accustomed to me as much as anybody can do that. So this will be my last Sunday with you, but I've enjoyed my few weeks and celebrating Christmas together. Doreen?
I would say thank you for your ministry for these weeks that you've been with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Hi, Gordette.
Thank you. It's been good for me to reconnect with some folks that I've known, but then to connect with all of you who I have not known, but to reconnect with this church and its ministry, and to recognize all that this church has meant and means and continues to mean in this community. So thank you for what you do. Let us go before God in prayer. Loving God, we come to worship together today. That might not seem like anything earth-shattering. But when we come together as one people here, we come as different people with different lives and different histories, and yet we are all your children, children of the loving God. You created us lovingly, you, the source of all life. And you created us as different people with different lives and different histories. We have come here because we have proclaimed that we have one teacher, Jesus. So close to you, our God, that we call him the living Word. The Word that you, O God, spoke out. And we are different people with different lives and different histories. And in the midst of that diversity, we proclaim one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So yes, we have come to worship, but let that not wash over us lightly or easily. Instead, let us open ourselves to your word, O God, which is at work in us. Bring into our hearts and our minds, our plans and our actions, our hopes and our prayers, a greater love for all people. Interrupt the silence of our prejudices. Break us out of the isolation of our ignorances. Move us beyond the false sense of security in building earthly fortresses or pretending that somehow we can keep those away that we don't like and erase the fear that prevents us from caring and communicating one with each other. Help us to be present in the midst of your love. Help us to become one family on this planet we call home. Help us to be a church, one that proclaims your love in all of its aspects, whether it's international ministries that we're supporting or whether it's simply in the square. We are your people. Different people and different lives and different histories, but somehow we are braided together. And we pray for your presence in our ministries. We thank you for this church and its long history of ministry and caring and commitment. We thank you for Pastor Martha and for her leadership and for her good news and for resolving health conditions, and for her return to her pulpit. We thank you for the members here, for those who are in need of prayer, for those who have been ill, for those who need safe travel mercies, for those who just simply need encouragement, for those who long for a sense of community. Instill your spirit in us and make us your people. Because left to our own devices, we are different people and we are in different lives and we have different histories. But the miracle of your spirit is that somehow you bring us together and unite us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. O God, accept our thanks this day, for we offer our prayers in your holy name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So now we worship through our giving. And I was bold last week about that that thing on TV. What was it? That drawing or whatever they call it.
The lottery.
The lottery, thank you. So I discovered how to win. And I did. I took $2, which I understand is the cost of a ticket. I took those $2 out of my billfold. I put them in my desk drawer. I slammed the desk drawer. I waited for the drawing to be over. I opened my desk drawer, and the $2 were still there.
Oh, no.
I won $2. And I took those $2, and I gave it to charity. Let us worship God with our gifts and our offerings. Through Christ we pray.
Sweet the sound.
morning.
Good morning.
The Old Testament lesson is taken from Isaiah 49, 1 to 6. The servant of the Lord. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb. He has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength," he says. "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, and my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Praise God. The New Testament lesson. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Praise the Lord.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. Matthew's words. The gospel. Every once in a while, we need to cycle back to the most fundamental teachings of our Sunday school and remember. Isn't there a book out? I remember it. Something about everything I ever needed to know I learned in kindergarten. Yes. Everything we ever needed to know we learned in Sunday school. What's wrong with us that we forget these simple and profound lessons? In the teachings of Jesus, in the recorded ministry, his actions, his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. All about his ministry that we've learned and reenact year after year, teaching Christians to confront their world with its poor and imprisoned and disenfranchised populations, and ensuring that all people are God's people and that they know that message. The connection between discipleship in Jesus and proclaiming God's justice and righteousness. The gospel. The gospel is never without cost. It's so simple and so profound. The biblical story of God's actions in human history, again and again upholding the presence of God's love and his insistence on justice. And despite God's intentions, human behavior goes its own way. It demonstrates its greed and its misuse of power over and against fellow human beings. The record reveals that God raises up extraordinary leaders in key moments. Moses, the prophets, Amos, Micah, those who challenged the principalities and powers of their day and confronted the injustices of their society, and they paid a price. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a famed pastor in the World War II era. Perhaps you've heard of him. He was a Nazi resistor. He was arrested, and from his prison cell he wrote The Cost of Discipleship. If you've never read the book, you should. An important book in our Christian faith. And there's a price to be paid when an individual courageously responds to God's call for action on behalf of their ideals, of their faith, of their beliefs, and proclaims God's love for all humankind, God's demand for justice. That is why someone demonstrates their commitment with the costly message of their life. We are moved in this weekend to honor such a person. The economist John Stuart Mill once observed that the initiation of all wise and noble things comes and must come from the individual until somebody stands up and says, enough is enough. Injustice perpetuates itself. Dr. King was one of those people who stood up to insist that justice be proclaimed. A few years ago, I participated in an MLK celebration in Boston with Dr. Samuel Proctor speaking at the Marsh Chapel. And he spoke of his own recollections of Dr. King as a colleague and a friend and tried to help us understand Dr. King as the man that he was and what made him unique. Through Dr. Proctor's eyes, it was not so much about where he started as the son of a Baptist preacher and Morehouse College and BU School of Theology, but rather the thoughts and convictions that he held. Because he always said to his contemporaries, we all started together. But Dr. King, as we know, was able to take it much further. I remember when I was here at this church, that we had Dr. King's father. Do you remember that, Richard?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In Maryland, we had a community-wide service, and Dr. King's father came, sponsored by the Council of Churches, and spoke in this sanctuary. It was packed. It's a part of our history and the fabric of our being, that doctors' commitment to justice is foundational to our ministry. All persons valued, all persons precious to God. He accepted the call of God, Proctor said, to go to Pharaoh once again and bring the message, "Let my people go." As we know, he believed and he lived in the method of nonviolent resistance, even if it may mean the ultimate sacrifice of his own life. He knew that violence would breed more violence. His critics and his friends were impatient with his ways. They told him he was too intellectual or too irrelevant. But he persevered to transform so many ways our society interacted with the life-giving affirmation. He set out to be an intellectual Baptist preacher with his PhD from BU. And God, Proctor said, had other plans for his life. He's famous for his dream speech, right? We celebrate that speech. We hear it repeated over and over again. I have a dream. I hope that you'll hear that tomorrow somewhere on the airwaves. Somebody will read it. Somebody will proclaim it. And God still calls us to dare to dream in our own lives, to dream of justice in our day, to dream and to dare to see visions of life and racial harmony and human harmony, and to decry bigotry of all types in ourselves and around us, to dare to become sensitized once again to all forms of greed and indifference, to human intolerance, to need and pain. God calls us to be alive and to be responsive in a world which at times we know can be quite cold and uncaring. There is so much in which we can believe, for it has come to pass, and we've seen change. But we know that as much as we've seen, we still have a ways to go. From the work that I do, I see it from a different kind of perspective as well. Because we've seen that the impact of the work that he did, the impact of the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s has extended itself to different parts of our society. Usually when I speak to an audience in my work, 85, 90, 95% of it is women who are interested in children. And I'll say, now what other group benefited from all of these proclamations and work and change in laws in our society to advance equality in our society? And sometimes they just look at me with blank faces. Guess who I was thinking about? The 90% of people in this room, in that room, who were benefits of the fact that we've changed our attitudes about where women should be in our society. That there should be opportunity that is equal. Somehow the message sometimes gets lost. In disability work, the work that I do, the civil rights and human rights of all people have changed significantly in the last 40 years. I love speaking with May this morning and learning of your career and the forework that you did for the work that I benefit from now. Because May worked in the area of special education long before 766, our Massachusetts law, was passed, and even into it, helping it become a reality. I didn't know that, but I'm so excited to know that. Brown versus Board of Education, the famous landmark Supreme Court case, a watershed moment that opened the legal gates and reversed centuries of wrong policies in our country. Dr. King's ministry crystallized around some of those changes in policy and practice.
And we've seen it, haven't we? We've seen it change in football and baseball and basketball, professional athletes of all kinds. We've seen it in television. We've seen the fact that we've had now political leaders who come from different places, different cultures. We've seen James Forbes become pastor of the Riverside Church years ago. What a significant change that was. He was always known as the preacher's preacher. He was the one that we were supposed to read in seminary to learn how to preach, because he had perfected it so well. And we've had mayors and governors and senators. Deval Patrick, governor of Massachusetts. That couldn't have been imagined. Barack Obama, president of the United States. So whatever your political persuasions are, you have to acknowledge that the society has changed. And opportunity has changed. That there is the opportunity for greater tolerance and acceptance. And we also know that whenever things change, there's going to be a voice that says, change back. No, we don't want to go there. And so you see this tipping of the moving ahead and the moving back. And then finally, when we get to a place where change is accepted, everybody says, oh, I knew it all along. I was a part of the change. You know, it's human nature. The reversal in discrimination towards gay individuals in our culture. Again, doesn't matter what your political perspectives are, but our culture has shifted dramatically in the last 10, 15, 20 years to allow all people to be able to be seen as children of God. I work with a lot of people whose family members have special needs and intellectual disabilities and other kinds of disabilities. We're across the whole spectrum. We go back and read in the record that the Supreme Court proceedings around Brown versus Board of Education, that one of the lawyers used as their argument before the justices that if you let this go forward, this decision to let all kids go to the same school, even children with intellectual disabilities, we used to call it mental retardation, even children with intellectual disabilities will expect to go to school. Our attitudes have changed. There were laws on the books until 1972 and beyond, until actually 1975 with the passage of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act at the federal level, which struck down over half of the states, had laws on their books that prohibited certain groups of students from going to public school. Imagine. We've come a long way. We've shifted. We've changed. And so, yes, race relations were a part of the key. And we began to say, wait a minute. If it makes sense for this group of people, it makes sense that all people, all God's children, come together as God's people. We've come a long way. There's still much we must achieve. The scripture quotes Jesus as saying, as much as we have done it to the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you have done it unto me. And we know that as much as we've done, there is more yet to be done. The church's work is not over. We may think so sometimes. We may hope so sometimes because we're tired. We've been doing this a long time. But the work yet moves on. The educational achievement gap for blacks and Latinos in our society is still nearly double what it is for Anglos and Asians. The work is not done. The work of students with disabilities. Now they can attend school, but their achievement gap is still significantly lower than all other students. Students are still being restrained and secluded if they misbehave in ways that you and I can't even imagine. The work is not done. The dream is there, but for some it is still far off. How can we fulfill the dream? I had no idea, of course, and you know, some of you know that my daughter Amy has Down syndrome. She was born actually when we lived here, and I was serving here at Melrose Wakefield. I didn't really know what that meant. I only knew she was my precious little one. And there were people here who said, treat her like anyone else. And so we did. And so she still acts that way. I asked her recently, do you want to go get your own apartment and live more independently? She said, Dad, don't you ever use that I word with me again, independence. I said, why? She said, I'd much rather live at home and be pampered. Where have I gone wrong? She has me wrapped around her little finger. But she has this ability to come into a room and totally envelop it. Her character, her personality, her charm, it's indescribable. And she, in her own right, has so much changed my awareness and my world. Kind of shifted my career a bit, too. Because I've ended up working in this field and recognizing that there are so many families who feel just totally disenfranchised and totally disempowered and not accepted by their own extended family because their child has autism or their child has an emotional disability or their child can't sit still and behave properly. Whatever properly means. And on it goes. But the dream, then, for me, is not just King's dream of racial integration, which is part of it, but it's also dreaming of the day that the look of my daughter's face with the usual characteristics of Down syndrome, her eyes look a little different, etc., that would not determine her fate. But that she and my son and all of my children and my grandchildren and your grandchildren would be seen as God's children. And what better place for them to come and be accepted than here in the church? Oh, I know it's hard. And no, you're going to need more than one Sunday school teacher to handle it. You got to get at least a second volunteer. Because children need that loving relationship and attention. And they need to learn those lessons, don't they? Just like we have. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. I dare say there are many people that aren't getting that message these days. The church's work is not done. The dream is not over. How can we make this ministry move forward? How can we fulfill the dream of MLK in our day? A rabbi friend once told me that one of the primary tenets of his faith is this: only some are guilty, but all are responsible. Only some are guilty, but all are responsible. Dr. King dared to proclaim a dream, a vision, a transformed life. And his dream was about harmony, wasn't it? And he took it further than the rest. He spoke of it. He lived it. He acted. He died for it. We cannot tell others to choose his dream or to choose Jesus' way unless we say that we've chosen it for ourselves. It's our job. And we've seen things change. Robert Kennedy, who is inspiring to many of us. Spoke to the all-white audience, as you know, in Cape Town, South Africa, declaring the world's cruelty cannot be changed by those who cling to a present which is already dying. Let no one be discouraged by the belief that there is nothing one man or one woman can do against the enormous array of the world's ills, against misery and ignorance, injustice and violence. Few will have the greatness to bend history itself. But each one of us can work to change a small portion of events in the totality of those acts, and it will be written as the history of a generation. From numberless diverse acts of courage and belief, human history is shaped or reshaped. It is up to us as God's children, as God's people, individually and together, to proclaim the gospel of our Lord, the dream of the prophet. So Dr. King wrote in his sermon called Shattered Dreams, God's creative power is not exhausted by this earthly life, nor is God's majestic love locked within the limits of walls of time and space. Wouldn't this be a strangely irrational universe if God did not ultimately join virtue and fulfillment, and an absurdly meaningless universe if death were a blind alley leading to the human race to a state of nothingness? But God, through Jesus Christ, has taken the sting from death by freeing us from its dominion. Our earthly life is a prelude to a glorious new awakening, and death is an open door that leads us to eternal life. Well, on this weekend, in recognition and gratitude for the life and leadership of God's servant, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in awareness that God calls us to dare to dream the dream of the gospel truth for our nation and our world, may we resolve once again to live as Jesus taught us, inasmuch as ye have done it for the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you have done it unto me. So may it be that God's dream become fulfilled. Thanks be to God for the prophet. Let us pray. We are grateful, O God, for leaders who inspire us, who have come forward to shape us. And we dedicate ourselves again, each in our own little ways, to make your reality the reality of our lives. Bless us in this special holiday season. Bless us through Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let's forth.
may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds together in Him. Remembering that we come from different places, we have different histories, we have one faith, one hope, one Lord Jesus our Christ. May God bless us as God's children, for we ask it through Christ. Amen.
Amen.